can be a stirring of the Spirit of God. A lot of things that were formed against you, circumstances that developed, are going to just kind of disappear. It's going to be a capturing of your heart once again. You still feel that call of God. And there's something getting ready to happen, and it's like a mantle drop on you for the things that God has for you. Your day of usefulness in the kingdom is not over. It's just getting ready to begin. I'm so happy to be here, and I want to encourage your hearts this morning. If there's some way that I can bring some perspective to you that would, strengthen your hands. It's so important that you see where you are in the unfolding of the ways of God. You know, it says in Acts that David served the purposes of God for his generation. Remember that? There are purposes in the heart of God to accomplish on this planet that keep moving ahead. And we gain a lot of perspective when we can understand where we are in those purposes and what God is doing. It's more than just going to church. It's more than being plugged in someplace. There's a faith that's coming for what God is unfolding in his purposes, and I'd like you to be able to have a feeling for that. It's something that's been growing in my heart since I told David I would come down here for this memorial service. I began to contemplate the years. I realized that I met John Kokas when he retired, and I'm working with this thing of retirement, and I decided it wasn't going to be the thing for me, but nevertheless, I'm at the same place in life, and I realized what a tremendous contribution he was able to make after he retired. I didn't know him before that, and then it's been a really interesting thing to be able to get filled in on that. But so much has happened in the period of time since I got to know him. We've been through tremendous spiritual happenings, and that's an understatement of the year. But there's been so many things that happened. They were such intense times. They were almost like times of travail, days of uncertainty, days that we didn't know what we were doing, and then days when we saw wonderful things. And our hearts were drawn together, many of us from all over the country, in a thrust of faith to contend for something. And it's important for us to realize that that was then, and now is another day. And we've made it through, and we're here, and things are still moving on. Because I feel like a lot of the hurts and a lot of the wounds that we suffered from those days of battle are suddenly going to be healed up. And we're going to find that we're going to be able to stand before the Lord in a new way, in a way that is unique to the way God has called us and the way the word he's put within our hearts. I want to encourage you a little bit this morning, if I can, and the Lord help me. If you have your Bibles, you could maybe turn to John 3, put your finger in there, or put a little piece of paper in there, and then turn to Romans chapter 12, and we'll be working on some of those areas. But first of all, let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless this word, I pray. Bless everybody in this house. We pray for your perfect will to be released in this area. There's so much you've invested in so many lives. We pray, oh God, that as we launch into these days ahead, that you're going to quicken our lives, and you're going to cause there to grow in our hearts a fresh new ministry of your kingdom. Bless this morning. Let it encourage the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the things, and I've alluded to it yesterday, that we were believing for during these times was the breakthrough out of the church age into the kingdom age. And I don't know if those were words that were meaningful to you, or they were certainly words that were important to you. It's important that we understand what those words meant to us. But there was a great struggle on this planet, and it wasn't just in the circle of friends that we were involved in. There were little groups of people all over the world that were going through that same struggle of coming out of a church-oriented, church dogma, organizational identity of Christianity into more of a kingdom expression. Simultaneous with the apostolic ministry that we knew, there were other apostolic ministries on the earth that were speaking the same message. And their word went out. So that today there are, you know, there are thousands of fellowships around that have a vision of the kingdom. That foundation was laid, but it took a lot of travail. And a lot of us were involved in that travail. We were launching into areas that we knew nothing about. And it's, of course, that's where what the Lord is going to lead us. If we knew something about it, there'd be no need for him to lead us. But he's going to lead us. And when you go into spiritual things, sooner or later you cross over the line where there is no earthly counterpoint or counterpart. You go into areas that's kind of risky. And that's where the enemy can come in, and that's where our own foolishness can upset us, and our own religious ideas can cause a lot of things to, you know, be created that are become destructive. But that's all part of the process. It's part of the process of moving ahead. And it's important, I think, in this time for a lot of us just to draw a line and say, you know, that's what we were contending for, and you know what? We were faithful. It doesn't matter how it looks in this hour, we were faithful. Because today, I tell you, there are people that are standing in a freedom in their relationship with God that is wonderful. They're walking out on the streets, and as God speaks to them about people or those around about, they're walking up to them in the name of the Lord. They're cursing the diseases, and they're seeing limbs healed, and they're seeing sicknesses disappear. There's the coming move of a group of people that are going to be releasing the power of the age to come, and it's just right on the scene. I had coffee with a guy just 4 days ago who had just been back from Mozambique, and he went there with a number of people, with a guy by the name of Todd Bentley, in a crusade. But the crusade was different. It wasn't a preaching crusade. They just had a kind of a stage area, and people would come out from the town. It was very, very crude. And the way they started out, they had a little bit of worship, a little bit of singing, you know, some sort. It was a Muslim, very heavy Muslim place. Then they started talking to the people about those who wanted to get healed and those who wanted to be touched by the Lord. They started coming forth and coming up, and the minister would pray for them, and there was several significant healings that took place immediately. Then the team went out. The team that he was with went out, and he said during the 4 or 5 days he was there, he saw 7 blind eyes opened right in front of him as he laid hands on them and prayed for them. And then he'd say to them, "Would you like to receive Jesus? That's the love of Jesus being released in your life right now." They were bringing into that place the power of the kingdom that was coming with the word. They'd go out in the streets, and they'd walk around the streets, and they'd just look to see what the Lord had for them. And the Lord would speak to them about somebody that needed a touch. They'd walk over there and pray for them. And it was in the midst of it, he said, the laughing, scoffing spirit that was in the town and was around there was amazing. Can you pray for them? And there were people laughing because, you know, these were Christians and they were trying to do something. But he said the power of God was awesome. Now this guy, I know this guy, he's not plugged into a church particularly. He's part of a fellowship. We have great fellowship together. He goes to the same church fellowship that I go. But he's walking in a kingdom anointing and a kingdom revelation. He's the beginning of a new level of believer to come on the scene. I could tell you quite a few stories that I've heard, but we're getting away from this, what we want to talk about. Just the whole idea of the kingdom has been an amazing development in my mind. I remember years ago hearing about this and thought, well, what is the kingdom? I decided to go through study of the Bible, find out what the kingdom was. And I didn't really know. I thought it was administration of the Lord coming. Then I got a tape saying the kingdom of heaven is going to start in 1979. And then 79 came and went, and it didn't happen, or whatever was supposed to happen, which they never told you was going to happen. The kingdom has been, I mean, it's been a truth that our hearts have been drawn to, but we haven't known much about it. But the kingdom of heaven is one of the major themes in the New Testament. It really is. Today, there are prophets of God being raised up to give more of a definition to what the kingdom really is. I want to talk about that for just a minute, because we contended to get loose from the church age. Now our hearts are going to have to be quickened and made alive to the kingdom day, because it's dawning, and it's dawning in our hearts. It's something which is very, very close to us. And it's not a religious dogma. It's not a religious order. It's a revelation of the Lord and his moving in our hearts. So the kingdom understanding that we see now is far greater than anything we've ever seen before. I want you to turn, don't miss those other verses that we were going to look at. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 to begin with. Okay? Matthew 6. We're going to start reading at verse number 10. Actually, we're going to start reading at verse number 9. Pray then in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want you to look at this. For thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. If the Lord is going to give a prayer for his disciples to pray, don't you think it's going to be a kind of a succinct, all-encompassing prayer? It's going to kind of strike right at the heart of the purpose of God. Now, this gives us an insight into what the kingdom of heaven is, and it gives us an insight into what the will of God is. I don't think there's been a issue in Christianity where there's been so much more condemnation and legalism ministered than the will of God. You've got to do the will of God. Okay, the will of God is for you to be such and such. The will of God is for you to do this. The will of God is for you to marry this person. The will of God is for you to be a ministry over in Africa or someplace. And we've gone through all sorts of consternations. Now, it's possible that the Lord would lead us to do something like that, but that's not the will of God. The will of God is to establish the realities of the kingdom of heaven on this realm. Right? That's what the will of God is. Everything in your life that pertains to the will of God has to do with you coming into an understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is and walking in that reality, walking it out. It has to do with modeling the realities of the kingdom of heaven on the plane of the earth. Right? So this is what we're talking about. It has to do with the demonstration on earth of the qualities and realities of heaven. And so we as believers are going to become people who know and see and walk and respond to the realities of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. It's that simple. You're going to be surprised how simple your Christian life is going to become now that we're making it out of the church age. It's very, very simple. And it's very, very intriguing. For example, we don't know exactly what it means to bind and loose yet. We've been doing it for years. Huh? But you bind on earth what does not have liberty in heaven. And you loose on earth what has liberty and full reign and range in heaven. It's one thing to bind sickness and disease, but it's another thing to loose the life and health of the Lord. They both work together. Because here's what it is. It's the plane of heaven that's invading earth. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And we don't realize how true that really is. But God's opening our eyes for this. We're going to realize some wonderful things. Okay, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. You'll have to pardon me because I don't preach very often. And the temptation is to get all my preaching done in one service. Preachers, you know, are a strange bird. But I want you to look with me, John chapter 3. I'm going to start to read verse number 9. Okay, Jesus answered and said to him, now here's the story. Nicodemus, who was a ruler in Israel, came to Jesus by night. And he said to him, you know, I'm perceiving that you are a man sent from God because you're doing all these signs. And Jesus said to him, he said, aren't you a teacher and you don't know anything about this? It's strange how that in the ministry, in the understanding of Jesus, when he brought the understanding of his world to our world, in his mind, the teaching ministry resulted in the miraculous. Because the teaching ministry unfolded the power of his realm. And so he's talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, you know, he says, you know, you've got to be a man of God because nobody does these miracles that you do. And so then Jesus got into a conversation with him about these things. But in Nicodemus's mind, the word that Jesus spoke and the corresponding signs that happened was a significant thing. It was an evidence that he'd come from God. Now, we have not taught the teaching ministry that way, have we? The teaching ministry is kind of one of the more boring ministries in the New Testament order. Get ready. Bring yourself a good bunch of no-dos if you're going to listen to a teacher minister. But technically, the teaching ministry was to release the supernatural. And I tell you, that is just beginning to happen today. There are places, and I've heard ministries like that, they teach the deepest, profoundest revelation teaching. Then they stand up and they lay hands on people and nobody stands. I mean, the power is there. And the healings that take place are amazing. So Jesus was talking about something different. He's talking about this kingdom level. Now let's move on here. We're back. We're reading in John chapter 3 and verse 9, isn't it? Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? You know, that was a head scratcher for him. Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel? You don't understand these things? Truly I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of, that which we have seen, and you have not seen, you have not received our witness. If I told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things. Now, it's easy to teach earthly things, and we've always learned spiritual things through earthly things. We take the earthly illustration and we draw meaning for the spiritual. And we talk about the Lord of the harvest. Okay? The picture goes in our minds. Right? We talk about the early rain and the latter rain. It's talking about things having to do with the Spirit of God falling. But our minds think in terms of rain coming down and watering the crops. Okay? Most of the stuff that we have learned in the church age had an earthly counterpart. But Jesus was facing this fact that even when there's an earthly counterpart to teach spiritual things, we still don't get it. He says, how in the world are you going to understand if I'm going to teach you spiritual things? That's a good question, because it's in the mind of the Lord to bring us into all truth and open it up for us. Allow those realities of the kingdom of heaven and the realities of the presence of the Lord don't have any earthly counterpart at all. So how are we going to learn? Well, it's going to take something else. And Jesus is getting at that as he goes. And we go down here. Verse number 12, or verse 13. And no one, see, he's answering this question, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. Now, I want you to get this. The question is, how in the world are we going to understand spiritual things that are unseen, that don't have any earthly counterpart, so that our earthly minds can really grasp them? Because we need to understand them. Jesus wants to teach them to us. And Jesus said, no one has ascended into heaven to get that reality, except he who came down from heaven. Now, I don't know, this translation doesn't carry a very accurate congruency with the original language, but in the original language, he's saying, no one has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who has descended, who is in heaven. Does anyone have a different translation that reads that out a little bit better? As he was standing there, Jesus was saying, no one has come down from heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. I want you to get this. It's just it'll open up for you. As Jesus stood there in his awareness, talking to Nicodemus, he referred to himself as the Son of Man who is in heaven at that very moment. Jesus was walking in two planes at the same time. He was walking in two levels of reality simultaneously. One was the revelation of heaven, and the other was the reality of earth. The kingdom is within us. Now, get this. The Lord Jesus always existed in the form of God. He always existed on the plane of heaven. But he had to be born on the plane of earth so that we can be born on the plane of heaven. And Jesus, who is the great, you know, he's the great example of the believers, is saying of himself that he was called to live on both planes. And the will of God was to bring the reality of the kingdom that was within him and invade the realm of earth with that reality. That's what we're called to if we're going to walk in this kingdom day. Our mind has to be so impressed and have the revelation of the Lord so we begin to see things from the kingdom dimension. It's not that we go around trying to be controversial. It's just that when you see things differently, when you see things the way God sees things, it's going to kind of upset the climate a little bit around you, isn't it? You're going to begin to see things the way God sees them. Jesus said, this is a teaching that is all throughout the New Testament. In Ephesians, it says that he has raised us up and made us to sit with him in, what is it? Heavenlies in Christ. Okay? Colossians says, if you've then been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father. In Ephesians 1, it says, he has blessed us with all blessed spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And Paul said, he went on in that chapter, as I pray to God that he'll open your eyes, that you'll understand the height and the depth and the greatness of this wisdom. What's he talking about? He's talking about that realm of the kingdom that we were born into when we were born again. Right? What we need to see by way of an expression of faith in our lives is the outworking of this power. He said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I don't think that had anything to do with being able to visualize the kingdom or be able to intellectualize it. I think when you're born again, you're going to see the impact of the kingdom of heaven in your life. You're going to see the release of that power in a myriad of ways. We're not just human beings that just got born again and got a little religious experience, and now we're going to just kind of make it our way through life and do our religious duties. It's a lifestyle. It's a walk with the power and anointing of the kingdom of God within our hearts. It's so simple. And here's how it works. Does this circumstance or this thing exist in heaven? If it does, we're going to lose it. Does cancer exist in heaven? No. It's not part of the picture whatsoever. Is heaven filled with the life of God that fills all things? Yes. Okay, well, we lose the life. We curse the cancer, but we lose the life of God. Just begin to look through your life. You know, we made it so complicated to walk with God and so complicated to get anything out of God. You know, and our guilty heart wants to make it even worse. You know, and telling us we're unworthy. Just start looking in your life and start loosing the kingdom. Start loosing the blessing of God. Ask God to show it to you. Now there's another step we want to talk about, okay? Romans chapter 12. Now, how does this happen? I've never preached this word before, and it's so new to me that I hope it's catching on in your life. I hope you at least get a little revelation of it. This is interesting. How does this happen? Romans chapter 12, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now that's good, but that's not the answer. There was a time when I thought that was the answer. If I could get close enough to God, if I could be dedicated enough, if I could present myself as, you know, in such a wonderful way, then God would have to open up for me an understanding. That's not what it's talking about. Verse number 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. What is the will of God now? That will be done on earth. Huh? So, to understand the will of God, to be able to prove the will of God, requires a transformation of mind. Right? It has to do with the transforming of our minds. That's interesting. I read in a book the other day about this word transform here, and I looked it up this morning on the computer. The Greek word for transform, the transformation of your mind, is the same word that was used in Matthew chapter 17 when Jesus was transfigured and transformed before them. Do you remember? The disciples went up on the mountain, and there the Lord was, and he met with Elijah and Moses. And it says he was transformed. It's exactly the same Greek word. What happened when he was on the mountain? Well, the power, the reality of the kingdom world that he was living in as he walked here shone through into his physical bodies. Now, Paul's using that same meaning when he's talking in Romans chapter 12, saying, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It's the renewing of your mind that is going to give us understanding and is going to release